You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Hour two on this Thursday. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show, no McLovin. Who's got it better than us?
Nobody.
That's mean. Come on.
McLovin is still on vacation. I think we got a vacation, too, out of this with McLovin on vacation. Come on in. Stay a while. We'll check in with Pat Connaughton, the Milwaukee Bucks guard. He'll join us coming up in a little bit. And we'll check in with the Pittsburgh Steelers, who opened up camp yesterday. Your phone calls are welcome. We'll get to those coming up here in a moment. 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address dp at danpatrick.com. Twitter handle at DP Show. Say good morning to our radio and TV partners. There's a lot going on in sports right now. The NBA Finals just wrapping up. Golf and tennis had majors. Baseball. The Olympics opens up on Friday night on NBC. And for a certain kind of fan, all of that can be put on hold when one topic comes up. Training camp quarterback battles. Now, whether it's a true open battle or not, that's of little consequence for people in my business. We're going to make a big deal out of it. Even a hint of QB drama, and we go crazy. Drew Locke versus Teddy Bridgewater in Denver. Bring it on. Jameis Winston, Taysom Hill in New Orleans. Fascinating. Mac Jones, can he push Cam Newton in New England? Who cares if he can? We'll make it a big deal. Trey Lance, Jimmy Garoppolo in San Francisco. Justin Fields, Andy Dalton in Chicago. Is there a starter in jeopardy of losing his job? Tua Tagovailoa in Miami. Jalen Hurts in Philadelphia. What's going to happen with Deshaun Watson in Texas? What's going to happen with the Green Bay Packers and Aaron Rodgers? Training camp is almost here, and quarterback battles could take center stage before too long. We love it. We love to push it a little bit. You know, you push the envelope, we are doing our best to pull it, push it, prod it, whatever it is, because these are topics that people love to dive into, whether it's real or not. Like Mac Jones, Cam Newton came out and said Patriots made the right call making that draft pick with Mac Jones. Okay. How's he going to feel if Mac Jones is the starter? Would Bill Belichick go with a rookie quarterback? When does Justin Fields take over in Chicago? How secure is Jimmy Garoppolo? Like, there's a lot of drama there that is real. Some of it is manufactured bias. Yes, Paulie?
I think my biggest one, and it doesn't get any talk about, because the Saints, they're coming off seasons 12 wins, 13 wins, 13 wins. They're a very competitive team. They've got two question marks at quarterback. Not one, they've got two.
Yeah.
That's a really weird one because both could go poorly. It appears, Taysom Hill was above average last year for what I think a lot of people expected.
Yeah.
But it doesn't feel like it's his team.
It's weird. It depends on the day where you feel like, is this Jameis Winston's team? Which I thought all along it should be. And then I can use Taysom Hill in a role that he's a little more comfortable with. As opposed to saying, hey, there's no surprise when you come into the game. You're the starting quarterback. Nobody's going to be surprised at anything. Still feels like there's the element of surprise with Taysom Hill when he's in the game. Where do you line him up? What do you ask him to do? With Jameis, it's one-dimensional. He would be just your passing quarterback, and that's it. Cowboys opened up camp yesterday, and Jerry Jones got in front of the camera. He had some interesting things to say, including the expectations for this Dallas team this year.
I'd do anything known to man to get in a Super Bowl. That's a fact. And there's nothing in my mind that can have a higher priority than that.
And I respect that. If I'm a Dallas fan, I want to hear my owners say that. And it's easy to poke fun at Jerry with some of the things he says and some of the things he does, but you can hear it in his voice. He is getting up there in age. It's been 25 years since the Cowboys were in a Super Bowl. And you get a taste of this, and then it disappears. And then you keep finding a new formula. Hey, let's try this. Let's try that. New coach. New quarterback. New defensive coordinator. Let's take a chance on that guy. Let's re-sign that guy. He keeps trying. A lot of times he's gotten in his own way, but he has been fortunate that sometimes he'll listen to other people. Because Jerry the owner, Jerry the GM, those are the same people, but it's really two different people. Because one acts in a spontaneous way. Hey, we want to take Johnny Manziel. No, you don't. You don't want to take Johnny Manziel. Take an offensive lineman who's going to be there for a decade and be an All-Pro. You know, he wasn't going to take Dak Prescott. They were going to trade up into the first round. Connor Cook was the quarterback they were going to take before the Raiders took him, and then they took Dak Prescott after that. They were going to take, who's our 6'6 guy out of Denver?
Paxton Lynch out of Memphis?
Paxton Lynch. They wanted to trade up to get Paxton Lynch.
We loved him, though.
We did. But we did say that he was an inch too tall. Like, you can't be 6'6 and be good. 6'5, you can be a little bit better for some reason. But like, Jerry is spontaneous, falls in love quickly, but he wants to win. Man, he was all in on Quincy Carter, Drew Henson. Gave Ryan Leaf another chance. But he missed having Jimmy Johnson. Because Jimmy was really the genius behind all of this. He made it all work. He made the personalities all work. Jerry gave him all the ingredients. And Jimmy said, I'm gonna be a Michelin star restaurant here. Give me a couple of Michelin stars and put one on my helmet too. And then you had the falling out. Hey, I'm not getting enough credit. Like jealousy. Jealousy can do as much damage to a potential dynasty or dynasty as anything else. Like LeBron and Kyrie could have stayed together. Could have created something there in Cleveland. Shaq and Kobe. Like it happens. Even Belichick and Brady. I mean, they lasted a long time. Not that there was jealousy. It was just they were in the same organization, on the same football field, on the same page, but really not, there wasn't a wavelength that they were on when it came to their personalities. And Bill was business, Tom was business, but Tom wanted to have fun with this, enjoy this. And that led to that breakup in New England. But this happens. And what happened in Dallas with Jimmy Johnson, the fact that they haven't put Jimmy Johnson in their ring of honor. Now, I don't follow these that closely where you go, I don't know. Did you know that Randy Gratishar is in the ring of honor for the Broncos? Okay, great. Or this guy is. Jimmy Johnson is as instrumental as anybody in the history of the franchise with the Dallas Cowboys. When you think of the 90s Cowboys, I start with Jimmy Johnson. And he's going into the Hall of Fame this year. It's petty on Jerry's part. You know, you brought in Barry Switzer, and Barry proved that that's how good this team is, that even Barry couldn't screw this up. In fact, this is something that Jerry Jones had to say yesterday.
Barry came down from Norman, Oklahoma to talk about getting the job. And he comes in and he said, "Where's Jimmy?" And I said, "Jimmy's gone." He said, "Well, that's not right. Get him in here." I said, "Barry, Jimmy's gone. We're sitting here talking about you being the coach." I said, "What in the world are you so anxious to talk to Jimmy about?" He said, "I just wanted to get both you little on this couch and ask you both, how could you this up?" That was Switzer.
Do you think you can answer Barry's question now?
I've never been able to know why I f***ed it up.
Yeah. I mean, he's honest about it. But, you know, Jerry, get ready for a lot of Jerry, because Hard Knocks with the Cowboys, got a camera on him, got a microphone, he'll be ready to go. But you start to look at Dallas, and I'm not doing this for clicks, not trolling you, talking about the Cowboys, because a couple of years ago, I thought that they could go to the Super Bowl, pick them to go to the Super Bowl. And you know, I've done this with the Chargers as well, where you go, God, they got everything. And, you know, I was oversold on a Dallas defense. I like Dak a lot. I'm not a big Zeke Elliott fan. I don't want to have my running back making that kind of money. Got a great offensive line. All right, you got to get some wide receivers. Everybody else has that. I get all of those things. But this year, if Dak is 100%, Zeke, the offensive line, you got weapons, wide receivers. The issue is going to be their defense again. But you think about the NFC. How many teams do you think have legitimate chances of winning the NFC. You start with Tampa. We don't know about the Rodgers situation. If he plays for them, then yes, they have a great chance. Who else? Are you sold on the Saints? Right? Seahawks, are you sold on them? What about the Rams? Feels like the West, the NFC West is in play here. Not Arizona, if the Niners get healthy. But that, like, it's not formidable. And we saw, you know, Tampa last year was, what, 7-5 after 12 games, I think. And then they caught some magic there. And their defense was wonderful. But it's conceivable you're in a bad division if you win 12 games, 13 games, have home field advantage. I mean, even 10, you can win with 10 wins, it feels like. You know, Philly is not going to be that good. The Giants, we don't know. Washington, I like, but Ryan Fitzpatrick giveth and taketh away. It's conceivable that Dallas is a 12, 13 win team, in my mind, just because of the division. And with Dak back, you know, Mike McCarthy gets one more go at this. You know, you get rid of your defensive coordinator. They have to be better on. They were one of the, historically one of the worst defenses in the history of the NFL last year. No way to go but up. You give up 473 points. Worst in the NFL. Nowhere to go but up. And then you get a little offense in there. Bad division. Maybe you get to host two games in the postseason. Maybe. Maybe you go on the road and you face Tampa or the Rams or Green Bay. I don't know. It's conceivable. And no, I'm not ready to make my Super Bowl pick yet. Just letting you know. Not ready. Because I love what Kansas City did. Kansas City addressed their biggest need. You drop some guys, you replace them, you bolster the offensive line. Because if you have the offensive line, that means you have Mahomes with time. And when he has time, there's nobody better. And that makes them obviously very dangerous. Cleveland will be very good. Baltimore should be good. You know, could the Chargers emerge? There'll be one or two outliers that you go, wow, they ended up with 11 wins this year. I mean, it happens because of the schedule. But, you know, I look at Dallas and I'm not afraid of picking Dallas to do some damage this year in the postseason. Are they a Super Bowl caliber team? I'd need to see a little bit more with that defense. And they did spend most of their draft capital on defensive players. I like Micah Parsons. He's extremely athletic. But it every single year, if you play defense for the Cowboys, somehow you're better than what you really are. Because you're more covered. You know, it just happens that. That's Sean Lee, you know, if he stays healthy, Leighton Vander Esch, okay, if they stay healthy. Yeah. If pigs had wings. Yes, Paul.
You want to hear what the script line for the Washington team this year? Ryan Fitzpatrick, 3-1 in September, gets player of the month and is out of a job by November. That's the Ryan Fitzpatrick formula.
Yeah.
Player of the month in September, out of work by November.
Olympics start tomorrow, live from Tokyo on NBC. And you can stream some of the biggest moments from the games on Peacock. Get live coverage, original series, daily highlights, replays, and more. Go to peacocktv.com/Olympics to get started. Get a phone call in here and we'll take a break. Pat Connaughton from the Bucks will join us. Julianne in San Diego joins us. Hi, Julianne.
Hey, DP, 5'4", 148. I was calling to wish my best friend, whose name also happens to be Dan, happy birthday, but wanted you to wish him happy birthday, if you wouldn't mind.
Okay. Give me a little background on Dan. You like this guy?
He's my best friend. He's the reason I listen to you guys, and he's also the reason that I found out Todd Fritz is my spirit animal.
How about that?
Wow.
Yeah. He looks at me a lot and says, thank you, Todd.
Dan, happy birthday from not only Julianne, but all of us here on the Dan Patrick Show, including your spirit bear, Todd Fritz.
Yeah, he's on his way to Alaska, so let's hope he makes it back from the wilderness.
All right. Todd will now do a social media search of Julianne in San Diego.
Wow, really? You know, oh, all my tricks.
I think you'll be happy with what you find.
Wow, listen to that.
Whoa.
Confidence. I like confidence.
Okay.
Putting it out there.
All right. Well, thank you, Julianne. We appreciate that. That's very nice. All right. Felt a little flirtatious there.
Well, hello, that's their spirit animals.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to be out of pocket for a little while, so try not to call me for a poll update.
No, I think you'll be in your pocket.
Gross. That's gross.
I'm going to take a break here. We'll get more phone calls coming up. We'll check in with Milwaukee Bucks in an hour. For now, we'll check in with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Take a break. 16 after the hour here on the Dan Patrick Show. Discover that Discover credit card, and you will discover that you get all the cash back earned on your credit card, that Discover will match all of that. Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year automatically. And there's no limit on how much you can earn. It's amazing. In fact, even more amazing because of all the places where Discover is accepted. 99% of the places in the United States that take credit cards take Discover. So when it comes to Discover, get used to hearing the word yes more often. Learn more at discover.com/yes. 2021 Nielsen report. Limitations apply. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. This program brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Vans. They go far beyond from their customization options, cutting-edge tech, their five-star sales service, financial support crew. Go the extra mile, taking the all-important first step into an authorized dealership today. We'll check in with Pat Connaughton. I think when I first was at Notre Dame coming out, I was calling him Connaughton. And then Paulie goes, no, it's Connaughton. And I go, are you sure?
No.
Yeah, exactly.
Bucks fans say Connaughton.
Yeah, Connaughton. Yeah. Connaughton, right?
I think so.
Okay. Todd?
I believe it's Connaughton. Connaughton. I'm going to go with Pat Connaughton for 100, Jack.
Thank you. It's Pat. We know that, right?
Definitely Pat.
Yeah. I like how we figured out the Greek freak. We're still working on Pat Connaughton. He'll join us coming up here in a moment. Todd working on that. A couple of phone calls in here. Jeremy in Alabama. Hey, Jeremy.
Aloha, Dan.
Oh, boy. All right.
Shout out to Ryan. Todd Fritz, look, your anchor's gone this week. You shine like a star you are, buddy. You're doing great.
Thank you.
I think that this NIL has kick-started something that's going to be, you know, you talked about something's bigger coming for college football. I kind of think that you're going to look at, there's a chance you'll have three national championships. You'll have the North Dakota States, the Jacksonville States, that lower. Then you're going to have a mid-level with your, like, UCFs, your Boise States, those types. But I think all these money-making teams, the big superpowers, I think they'll end up getting their own national championship and just forming just a whole new division.
Oh, I agree with you, Jeremy. And thanks for the phone call. Yeah, I think you're going to have superpowers and super conferences in college football where maybe it's 40 schools. And they're going to be the ones playing for the national championship. Pat Connaughton, the star of the Milwaukee Bucks, former Notre Dame Fighting Irishman, joining us on the program. Pat, could you have played a basketball game last night?
Honestly, with all the adrenaline I had, probably. The excitement coming off it, it was something special. It was great to be out there and, you know, obviously have my teammates around and celebrate with them last night. But, you know, we probably could have pulled it off if needed be.
Who was the MVP of the celebration?
PJ Tucker and Bobby Portis. I give it co-MVP awards. you know, they were phenomenal. They enjoyed it. I was super happy for PJ. I mean, PJ's had an incredible career, and obviously this was something that he was looking for, and he did a lot of things to help us get it. So he deserved to be the MVP of the celebration.
Do you just wear your uniform out of the arena?
So funny story. I showered eventually and then obviously went to the after party and after dinner and stuff like that. But, I do recall one of my teammates did show up to the after party, still wearing the entire uniform, shoes tied, shooting sleeve on.
Well, I saw Giannis checking into a hotel at 4 a.m. I got a picture from a buddy, and he's got the trophies, and he's in full uniform. And he's at the front desk checking into a hotel at 4. It was like he was checking into the game at 4 a.m.
I mean, you saw his Chick-fil-A order the next morning when he said he didn't sleep. So Giannis is, I think one of the coolest part was about this whole thing is the world got to see a little bit of Giannis's personality. I mean, he's quiet sometimes to media, and obviously he's very focused on accomplishing our goals. But when you get him and he's outside and he's in the locker room outside of a media and business setting, the kid's funny, and I was happy that the world got to see that.
Yeah, he came off as a great kid. I mean, I shouldn't say kid. I mean, he had humility. Yeah. Sense of humor, timing, there was a lot. And I was glad that he was able to showcase that, because I think we are always going to be looking at him going, hey, you can win all those MVPs. You got to win championships. Well, now he got a hall pass. He's on scholarship for a little while, that people aren't going to go, hey, when are you going to win a championship? When did you realize, though, what he was capable of doing?
The first day I got here 3 years ago and I signed with the Bucks, I was we were having, some open gym type stuff, and we were all working out in the morning. And, I'm a second round guy, a guy that was trying to make sure that I had a role on this team. So at night, I'd come back and I'd work out. And I think, I did it in Portland. It's something that I have to do. It's something that, I enjoyed doing, but you got to put time into your craft. And the coolest part that I think people don't know is when I came back and continue to come back, Giannis was there. And Giannis looked at me like, what are you doing here? And I looked at him like, what are you doing here? I'm the guy that has to be here. Why are you here? And so just the things that he does behind the scenes and the time and effort that he puts in that people don't see, I think made me realize that he is a championship type guy. And then it was just watching his growth as a leader. He had obviously the physical work ethic that I would see on a daily basis, but the vocal leadership that he's grown into, that type of role he's grown into, to where when he got hurt and he was out for those last two games in Atlanta, he was still present on the bench. He was still being vocal, both individually and collectively, to the team, to teammates, and pulling them aside to give them the confidence to understand that he was here. He had our backs, even though he wasn't out there, and it was on us to make sure we had his.
That was a scary injury, though, Pat. Because you had guys, former players, who came on this show and said they didn't know if he'd even play again in the rest of the postseason. That's why I think we're underselling what he accomplished in the finals based off of the hyperextended knee. I mean, remarkable.
Yeah, I mean, look, he's a freak. He's got that nickname for a reason. But I think the funny part is exactly what you said. It was questionable if he was going to play again in the postseason. He was able to make it back for game one of the finals. And because of the type of series he had, I think people kind of forget, hey, it was a question if he was going to play again. But because of the performances he had, people kind of took it for granted. And, he just wanted to win. And that was the coolest part about being alongside a superstar. All he cared about was winning.
Pat Connaughton, the Milwaukee Bucks guard, joining us on the program. When did you kind of find your role, your place in this lineup?
I think over the course of the last few years, I've found it in spurts, and I've had impacts in spurts, and I've enjoyed playing alongside my teammates that have been here for 3 years, the new ones that have just got here this year, the coaching staff that's been here for 3 years, and the organization in general, all the way from ownership down to management, et cetera. But I think it was just a confidence that was continued to be instilled in me. And, when Dante went down, who's, a tremendous player, it wasn't about trying to do more. It was just about trying to continue to do what I do, be my own guy, and make sure that it was just done on a longer period of time.
What did you keep from the final game?
I kept my uniform. I kept my shoes. I kept hats, shirts. I think the coolest part was the moments, the pictures, the things that were just pure celebration, joy. I mean, the little segment that's been going around of me and Bobby Portis in the interview after the games, like all those little moments that
were you drunk captured. There, Pat?
I personally, no, I was not, but it was, it was just a, it was a genuine moment. It was something that, you know, me and Bobby looked at each other, and we've obviously, you know, been part of the quote unquote bench mob throughout this entire season. We've had each other's back. We've played together, and we've prided ourselves on making sure we made the winning plays. And that was a winning interview.
When you left the building, how many people were still outside?
Oh, a lot. I mean, I think that was something that was the most unique about this team and this city and, you know, the support that we've gotten. I mean, Chris Millicent said it best in the locker room after the game. You know, he was a part of a 15-win team not too long ago here. And so to see that come full circle and to see the fans continue to support them through thick and thin and continue to support us through thick and thin, there had to have still been tens of thousands of people out there. There were 65, 70,000 people out there during the game, not including the ones that were inside. And, you know, it'll be pretty cool to be able to go through the streets of Milwaukee on a bus, boat, wherever the heck we're doing it on, and show support with them.
Aren't you glad you passed up on that baseball career now?
I am. You know, I think the coolest part about that is seeing it come full circle. There are so many people that, you know, told me baseball was the path that I should take, but to be able to show the next generation of kids, you know, you can be a multi-sport athlete. You don't have to specialize at a young age. It can help you become more athletic. It can help you become more mentally tough, and you can still accomplish the things you want to accomplish. And, you know, I told Christian Yelich at the game, maybe in, you know, 8, 9, 10 years, I'll be pitching with him on the Brewers and trying to win a World Series here.
Oh, so you haven't given up on that dream?
No, not yet. You know, I'm focused on the current dream that I'm doing, but I take time in the offseason, still throw a little bit. It's kind of a mental release for me. I've always loved being out there, and it's a different type of feel when you're on the mound and when you're out in a baseball park throwing it around under the lights. So it's not something that I've fully given up on, but I'm enjoying this ride. I'm enjoying this journey, and I'm enjoying, you know, being able to have some of the successes that not many people thought I would have at this level.
Well, congrats. It was a wonderful season, and certainly being part of something special. You know how Milwaukee's held on to that team that won it back in 1971. So you got 50 years at least. If you don't win another championship, they're going to you're still going to be held in high regard there. So, Pat, congratulations.
Appreciate it, DP. Thank you for having me on the show. I'm a huge fan.
That's Pat Connaughton, the guard for the world champion Milwaukee Bucks. He was also in the slam dunk contest. The white man can't jump. He was Billy Hoyle. Remember Billy Hoyle?
It's a great move.
I know. He jumped over Christian Yelich. He finished third in the slam dunk contest. I remember watching him at Notre Dame, and I thought, this guy is as athletic as anybody I've seen. He was just a great athlete. And at times, you got to figure out how to play the game. Sometimes you have so much athleticism, you rely on that, and you don't learn the nuances of the game. Then you go to Milwaukee. First, he was drafted by the Nets, went to Portland. Then you go to Milwaukee, and you're still trying to figure out, what is my role? And maybe he's, you know, a career bench guy. But he played an important role for this team this year. When DiVincenzo went down, he was able to – he gave him like 20 minutes a night. But he was a two-sport star at Notre Dame, basketball and baseball, drafted by the Orioles. I think originally drafted by the Padres out of high school, and he was considered one of the top 50 prospects coming out of high school. And then he wanted to play baseball and basketball at Notre Dame, and they gave him that opportunity. Yeah, Paul?
That's pretty surprising. You know, he's got a good career going, making a lot of dough. He's got a nice contract. But you always got to think, maybe when I'm 33, I could try baseball. There's no downside to it. That NBA money is going to be gigantic by then for him.
Yeah, he's got two more years left with the Bucks, and then I don't know if he still holds out hope that he has an opportunity to play in the major leagues. He was in the minor leagues, low A ball, I think, and he's a pitcher. So, I don't know. Maybe, sure, why not? Jeff in Detroit joins us. Jeff, what's on your mind?
What up, though? One time for Chat Row. Just wanted to comment real quick, Dan. First of all, NBA really needs Giannis. I mean, the kid is great. I mean, you think about this. The three-point shot was broken in the final game, and the paint opened up. The kid dominated. Second of all, like you said, his personality came out. People got to see the type of person that he is. And my question to you is, Giannis is one championship better than Durant's too, because, you know, of course, people at the barbershops, everybody are starting to talk about chasing a championship opposed to building one the right way. And my final question to you, you're a free agent. who are you going with, Brooklyn or Milwaukee if you're going someplace?
I guess it, and thank you, Jeff. It depends on what kind of player I am. How old am I? Am I a high-end bench player? What would be my role there? There was some chatter yesterday that maybe Chris Paul could be headed to the Lakers or Russell Westbrook with a sign-and-trade. I don't get the Russell Westbrook. Even though he played at UCLA, his style, to me, doesn't mesh with LeBron. LeBron's more of a half-court guy at this stage in his career, where Westbrook is just high energy. And I don't see that those two meshing in the backcourt. Wonderful talent. I've said before that there was a time when Russell Westbrook was one of the few guys that I would pay to see. But I don't know if he wins. I think he's fascinating, puts up numbers. He's a Hall of Famer. Chris Paul, he makes sense. It depends on how long I have him for. That would be my big concern, because you're going to have LeBron and Chris Paul basically the same age. And can Chris Paul continue to play it at a high level? You know, there's other players. Malcolm Brogdon, to me, makes more sense than Russell Westbrook. Mike Conley would make more sense. I think you have to have, you know, a player who fits in with LeBron and Anthony Davis, complements them. I thought Dennis Schroeder was going to be better than what he was, but I think he got in there and got in front of the big lights and the big expectations, and he didn't live up to expectations. I don't know if Phoenix would want him in a sign and trade and you get Chris Paul, but I know that there have been some names. There might be one or two other point guards out there that I would go, they make more sense than Russell Westbrook does. But Milwaukee has no drama. If you're going there, if you go to the Nets, you got drama. You know, there's a few teams where you walk in, the Lakers, Clippers, Brooklyn, you got drama there. And you go to Milwaukee, it doesn't feel like there's any drama. Unless the expectation level is, hey, we got to make sure we're still competitive. Well, I think you've ensured that with your lineup. As long as everybody truly understands what their role is, and they don't color outside the lines, then you're good. It's just when Chris Middleton thinks, you know, I should be getting... Chris Middleton, I believe, took more shots in the finals than Giannis. I don't know if you guys can check that. But so Chris Middleton did get his opportunities here and was a breakout star. I think we were reminded about Drew Holiday being a really talented two-way player. But Giannis is the star. But he doesn't sound like a star. I mean, he just sounds like he would be a great teammate. I don't know what kind of free agents they would be interested in, but to play with Giannis, there were scenarios. You know, if you said I could play with Luka or I could play with Giannis, I would play with Giannis. Because I'm not sure about Luka in who compliments him. It feels like Giannis, he can compliment a lot of players and vice versa. Whereas Luka's ball dominant. It's almost like James Harden when he was in Houston. What kind of players do you surround him with? Yeah, Paul.
Chris Middleton attempted 125 shots in the finals. Giannis attempted 123.
Yeah, okay. So he got his touches. But that's a credit to Giannis. Guys will talk about this. I got to get my touches. And it would drive me crazy. Because instead of doing what's best for the team... Although in your mind you go, oh, this is what's best for the team. I get my touches. No, it's not always best for the team. But I remember there was an all-star player, and he was having a conversation with another player, and I was just there listening. And he kept saying, you know, eventually it's got to be about me. I got to get my touches. And the player who he was talking to was probably 4 or 5 years older, and he was trying to set him straight going, it's not about your bleeping touches. It's... who is the best player getting the touches? And does he get enough of those touches? Because if you think it's about you, then you're not going to have success. If you think it's about us, then you'll have success. And I could just see this younger player, like he's looking at this older player going, you're crazy, man. It's about my touches. And that guy was never the same player because he got selfish. And no, we're not going to guess who that player was. That's not fair because I was privy to a conversation, but it was about touches and using that. I got to get my touches. All right. Got your touches. All right, we'll take a break. More phone calls coming up. We'll check in with the Steelers coming up next hour here on the Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Interesting stat with Major League Baseball. There has been at least one walk-off win every day since play resumed following the All-Star break. And there were no walk-off home runs last night, ending baseball's streak of six consecutive days with at least one walk-off home run. That's tied for the second longest streak in baseball history.
Stat of the day, stat of the day, stat of the day, stat of the day. Here comes that
what?
Stat of the day.
A couple of phone calls, get a poll update as well. We make way for Phil in Indiana. Phil, good to have you back. How are you today?
Hey, Dan, it's always a great pleasure to be with you. I wanted to get your thoughts on two things. Number one would be you talked about if there was like a three super conferences and then maybe 40 teams or whatever it is.
Yeah.
You'd almost have to expand that to 16 teams for a playoff if you're going to end up with three or four teams from a conference. And then secondly, Dan, I wanted to get your thoughts. It's really hard to fathom that the Southwest would not have teams that would be predominantly from the Southwest, meaning Texas in that area. It'd be hard to for me to believe that the Big 12 would go away, but I'd love to get your thoughts on it.
Yeah, I just don't know what's going to happen when the dust settles. Let's say Texas and Oklahoma do go to the SEC, all right? What do you – it's all about that TV revenue. How attractive are you as a conference? Can you replace them? Who do you replace them with? You can't replace Oklahoma and Texas. You've already lost A&M. And then I wonder what the future would be. Like the Pac-12 I thought was teetering on – you know, being irrelevant. And it nearly was when they weren't going to play during the pandemic. But could you have the Pac-12 and the Big 12? And could you have 16 teams there? I just think that everything it feels like is open to interpretation. It feels like there could be a conversation about what Notre Dame does. Does Notre Dame stay independent? Would Notre Dame join the ACC? Would Notre Dame try to join the SEC? Like, I don't know where this starts, where this stops. But it's about the money. You have the playoffs. And it does surprise me, though, to Oklahoma would say, yep, let's go to the SEC. Because you're basically a standalone team in the Big 12. I mean, you have teams, schools occasionally that'll surprise us. Iowa State comes out of nowhere sometimes, Kansas State. But, you know, who was your real Oklahoma State? It's Oklahoma. And Oklahoma, in a 12-team playoff, they're going to be in there every single year. Clemson, guaranteed being in there every single year. But, you know, Florida and Georgia, not guaranteed. Or A&M, not guaranteed. Alabama, guaranteed. But that's where I would I don't know if I would want to join the SEC unless that benefited the entire athletic department. And what is the long-term plan for the SEC? Like, that's what I want to know. Is the SEC's plan to basically take over college football? Because if you say, hey, Notre Dame, Clemson, this is what we're going to do. These are the schools that are going to be in the SEC. Now, how many schools can you get into the SEC? And then because there's no rules here right now. Like, you don't have a commissioner. You have a commissioner in each conference, but you don't have, like, the NCAA? They don't have any power in this. Yes, Eden.
I wonder with all of the money that Texas and Oklahoma make, I'm assuming they're cash cows, right?
Texas, definitely.
I wonder if at some point it's kind of like, why are we carrying this conference on our own when we can go be a part of this other juggernaut that's already existing?
Yeah, but I would be concerned that Texas can't win in the Big 12. They're not going to win in the SEC. So you might be carrying teams in the Big 12, but if I'm Oklahoma, I would want to stay there because I'm winning.
Maybe you get better recruits?
I don't know.
I mean,
Texas doesn't have that stronghold that it used to, where anybody great in Texas was going to go to Texas. Yeah, Paul.
You know how sometimes you and a friend are getting ready to jump off a cliff or into a pool, and you're like, 1, 2, 3, let's go. If I'm Texas, that's what I do with Oklahoma. Like, all right, we're going to the SEC. Let's go to the SEC.
Let's hold hands.
Hold hands. 1, 2, 3, and then you pull back, and Texas stays and gets to finally run the Big 12 again. We're back. Texas will be back because they want to play Oklahoma anymore.
See ya.
SEC ya.
Whoa. Let's see. Raymond in New York. Hi, Raymond. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Dan. How you doing? Thank you. Yeah. With the Olympics coming up, I had a question for you, but may I first say something about yesterday's show?
Yeah.
Because it was a great show. One of my favorite shows is like after a championship or after a Super Bowl, just listen to your opinion, your recap analysis, and you were totally right on like whoever's healthy and whoever made the most. And you said that 2 months ago. You're way ahead of everybody. I thought that was so awesome. So I'm listening for 3 or 4 minutes. And then, as your show known to do, it took a left turn. For the next 12 minutes, I'm stuck right in the middle of the tribulations and fears of Leaky Von Butterpants. Now, I'm not sure what that's all about, but I was like, here we go, another episode of Life is Scary with Leaky Von Butterpants. You know who I'm referring to?
Fritzy?
Yes. Yes, yeah, I loved your 5-minute analysis, but then Fritzy took over the show, which Fritzy's my favorite Danette, so I just thought...
Well, thank you, Raymond. Yeah. I appreciate that. Thank you for the compliment. Yesterday's show was really good. Today's, not so much. Was he talking about the bathroom stuff with Ton, I think?
I think Leaky Von Butterpants, whatever he said, that would probably have something to do with bowel issues or something.
Wait. Who calls you Leaky Von?
That's the first time I've heard that. I think our caller just came up with that.
Yeah, so Raymond,
the nicknames.
Raymond called you Leaky Von Bowelpants?
Oh, Butterpants?
Butterpants.
That's what it sounded like, Leaky Von Butterpants, which is not the best nickname you're going to want to have if you're going to make a list of names you want to
I don't think so. Did we come up with that T-shirt for Todd? Is that in the works there, Seton, from yesterday?
I think it's in the works, yeah. I'm not sure if it's officially 100% approved. But.
Can we unveil it? Oh, you mean by Todd?
I didn't have a problem with it.
Oh.
I saw it yesterday.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's ultimately what we're waiting
for. Oh, okay. Our tribute to the Bucks. We have a T-shirt. There's a lot of great T-shirts. It almost feels like every week, every 2 weeks, new T-shirts there. Go to danpatrick.com. Coming up, final hour, more phone calls. Also, we'll check in with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Steelers showing up to camp yesterday. They've got the Cowboys in the Hall of Fame game coming up. That's why they were allowed to show up to camp a couple days earlier. Final hour coming up. Oh, one more item as we close out a festive hour two. RockAuto.com. They're there for you right now. Doesn't matter what time of the day or night. Go to RockAuto.com. All the parts your car or truck will ever need. Not just new parts, old parts. Because you can't just put 10W30 oil into every car, every engine. You got to do a little research there. And you got to be able to find this. Whatever this is that you need for your car, you can find it with the help of those at RockAuto.com. Founded in 1999 by automotive engineers. Family business. Got a chance to spend some time with them a few months back. Lovely people, but they know the business and they want to make sure you get these parts, but also they want to offer reliably low prices. They've done that. Don't waste time and money hunting for those parts, phoning, driving, waiting in lines. You don't have to do that anymore. RockAuto.com. Deliver right to your doorstep or your office. Make sure you tell them we sent you. Write Dan Patrick in the How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. They'll take care of you. All the parts your car or truck will ever need at RockAuto.com.